Hallelujah. Well, we bless you, Father. And we do thank you. What a great day you have granted unto us this day. We may come into the tabernacle, the house whereby you have put your name. No other name but that name, Yahweh. No other great Redeemer but you, Father. You've given us that assurance in Messiah. You came to redeem us from every foul, sadistic power of hell, from our own corruption. And I bless you for that. I thank you. I thank you for the true men of Yahweh that will stand for righteousness, will not capitulate, Father. And as you bring them to the horn of your truth, that their hearts rejoice, that you did not leave them in their ignorance, walking like a dumb beast. You brought us, Father, your truth. Your truth is righteous, is precious. We hold fast to your word today, for there is nothing else to hold fast to. Your truth and your word. We bless your name today, Yahweh. We thank you for Messiah, that hope of our salvation. Now awaken the minds of your people in this tabernacle here, and cause them to hear your truth. If it is of you, Yahweh, let it settle in their souls to become the pure order of their lives. If it's not, Father, bring it to naught. And let it be cast forth as dung, a waste, out of the minds, the bodies, that it will not yield forth any fruit at all. If it's your truth, let it bring forth a fruit, Father. We ask all things in that mighty, precious name of your sure Messiah. The hope, no other hope, no other hope but Messiah. We bless you for that. Your sure HaMashiach, the righteous Lamb. The hope of the house of Israel. The assurance of the call out. The elect. Those that Yahweh has purpose to carry his name in their hearts, in their minds, and in their spirits. We ask all things in that blessed assurance of a name. Yahshua Messiah. We bless you forevermore, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yahweh bless you before you. Sit down, turn to someone that you didn't last week, to your back, to your rear, and tell them, Yahweh bless you. Yahweh bless you. Look to someone else and tell them, Yahweh bless them. Yahweh bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We do bless him for all things. We do worship him. We thank him for all that he has granted unto us, and that is the truth of whom he is. There are many gods in the earth today, but there is only one true creator of the true covenant with his people. There are many that are established by their own rituals, but the thing that established our Father is his truth, for he cannot lie. And what he says is the truth. You cannot add, nor can you take anything away from it. Now, I do want to begin this day on a methodical approach, you always will, if I can. Because there are things that I do want to point out in Scripture. He is either a God, a Lord, or he is Yahweh, is who he is. Now, he cannot be identified with other beings. Even in the midst of the heavens, he made different degrees of Melechim, or cherubims, a degree. He made them. And yet Yahweh stands at the pinnacle of his hierarchy. He is the ruling power. And what he says in his covenant, it is everlasting. And that is what his name expresses. That is what even the title of Elohim expresses. It can never be found in God. It can never be found in lords. Even the purest of meaning of Adonai will never give you lords. Will simply give you master, or the ruling one of authority. But it will never give you Lord. And what man has done in his pagan ways to institute
a pagan ritual of worship, he has used expressive terms that are easy to digest with the masses of the people. And that is one term that no one will reject, and that is God. Because everyone can relate to that terminology. Now we must understand, brothers and sisters, that there are expressions that do not express the Father. You cannot call him a doll, can you? Can you call him a beast? So his name is the only thing that bring about that monumental memorial in our minds, that it always draws us back to him. And if he has no name, who are you being drawn to? Now what I want to do this morning carefully, I want to define a few words for us. That there will be no kind of disputing even in your mind. I use the expression that we are an ignorant generation. Because we're very truthless and lazy. We don't want to take time to study. And then when one takes time to study, we try to debate with some kind of emotion or feeling. And we don't even know what we are saying. It shows us the depths of our own ignorance when we go in that facet. It is better to know wisdom is the principal thing, but in all by getting it, understanding. You need to understand what you say. Even when a fool is quiet, he is perceived to be someone that is wise. And this is a foolish generation. It loves to talk. It loves to speak. And it has no knowledge of what it is saying because it is something that it has heard, perceived is right, and it has carried that forth without any rigor or any desire to study to see if it's actually legitimate, if it's a true statement, is it what Yahweh has said? And most of the things that we depend upon are things that have been passed down by men whose ways were unscrupulous. They were not sincere men. Their mannerism was not pure and sincere. They've been false men. And now Yahweh is calling us to manifest that pure mind of Messiah. For he knew the Father. And he knew what purpose that he was upon the face of the earth for. One purpose. And that was to bring the honor and the power to that name that had been cast out and trodden underfoot. And every kind of pagan deity was established. And even the name of the one that created his tabernacle, his name, had been abandoned from his house where his name, and only his name, was to be exalted. Now, I want to move expeditiously. I will call off scriptures. And I want you to follow me carefully. And I want you to scrutinize what I say. And see whether it is some kind of a man's philosophy or doctrine. Or is based upon scripture. See if there is a preponderance of evidence in scripture as to what I convey to you today. Is it of Yahweh? Is it of the Father? Or is it something that I have conspired to speak? To bring about some kind of demise or death to the body? There is one thing that I desire above all things, and that is to convey the truth of the Father. Not to establish some righteousness that I perceive, even in all of my traditions that I've been taught, that they are right. That we take the pure truth of what the Word of Yahweh says. I believe what the Word of Yahweh says, because I believe that it is the truth. I want to define this word, God. And what I want to do, I want to express unto you the etymology. Now that expression is simply the historical revelation, the origin, the root, the suffix, or whatever of any word. They go back to the conception of that word. Now a person that does that is a linguist. They study languages, words, and the origins of words that they may know the historical factors of those words. Now, we don't do that. The meaning of our words have been introduced unto us by our grammar that has been taught to us, or our vernacular. You got black people that speak in a certain vernacular. You got Caucasians that speak in a certain vernacular. You got people in the Midwest in a certain vernacular. You got certain people in the North in a vernacular. And so they speak in a grammar that is not according to proper grammar. And they define words by their association and their environments. They don't define it by the ethnicity or the legitimate meaning of that word. Now that's how we do it. If I ask all of you what does the word God means, I guarantee you will see a difference in meaning among this little small crowds. Now I know that man says that we serve the God with the big G. And that is such a preposterous, ignorant statement. It is one of the most ignorant statements upon the face of the earth. That our God, His name starts with a G. The capital G. In all Aramaic and Greek language, all was written in the higher case. There were no lower case. None whatsoever. There were no lower cases in the Greek, the Aramaic language at all. None. Now, I want to define this word God by reputable dictionaries that we all are familiar with. I want to define the etymology. I want to look at the origin, the concept and the beginning of this word. To say that it means Yahweh or He is a God, all gods are idols. It is a beastly spirit to every God, because even if you read scripture, you will find that out. And the only one that man calls God that has any distinct value or difference is the one that they think they know. And that is the truth. The thing of it is, we don't search scriptures. And we don't know what scripture says. And we will argue and detest what one said. And because that one has taken the time to diligently search out scripture, then we will debate that in our ignorance to show us how ignorant we really are. Now, I want to define the word God, the etymology now of the word God. And I want to begin from the Webster 1913 dictionary. I want you to hear this. It says this. Oddly, the exact history of the word God is unknown. The exact, the precise. The word God is relative, new, European invention, which was never used in any of the ancient Judea Christianity scripture manuscripts that were written in Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, or Latin. Now, when something is newly invented, it is a fabrication, something that one fabricates. They make it up. And so the legitimacy of the historical origin, no one actually knows. They don't know. But there are words that are run coincide with that word that they can take the root of that word and they can tell you where the word came from. There are different expressions on that. You got the pros and the cons. And may I say this to you? This is from the Webster Dictionary, all right? The etymology. It says, according to the best efforts of the linguists and researchers, the root of the present word God is Sanskrit. Now, we don't even know what that word means, do we? It is Sanskrit. Word who, which means to call upon, invoke, implore. Now, I want to tell you what that Sanskrit, the language, it is a language. It is a language that is specific now. I will show you in detail reading that the Hinduism has nothing to do with a person that is of India, but that it is a strength. Hinduism. You can search any encyclopedia, any reputable dictionary, and they will tell you that. It is one thing that I do when I began to search meanings of words. I look at the origin, I look at the enunciation, all of that, and I want to find out, well, if this is Sanskrit, where was this language invented? I want to know that. We're very lazy. Now, you can get a copy of this and listen to it again. Your note-taking is not going to be the best of note-taking because your minds will not be able to grasp all that I will convey to you today. So you need to do that if you truly want to learn and to understand. Now, if you want to take this for a debating purpose, you will not do that. And you're not able to debate with me on this issue. So it's best to hear, because the power of faith comes by hearing. And to understand things, you must hear it. They say one of the most meaningful things to understand something in its thoroughness or to know how to enunciate a word is to do it 7 times. To hear it and then speak it. You hear the word and then you speak it. You hear the word, then you speak it. Most of the times we hear a word, we speak it, and that's it. Because we don't have the full command of that word. We don't take advantage of actually learning that. So you must hear this in order to understand it. You're not going to get this in just one little setting like this. It says that the word God comes from the Sanskrit word, hew, which means call upon, invoke, implore. Nonetheless, it is also interesting to note that the similarity to the ancient Persian word for God, which is kohadah. Now that is the ancient Greek word for the word God. It tells here in this definition, the following is a survey of some of the efforts of those who have been trying to decipher the ancient root of the word God. Now, man doesn't even know where the word came from. But yet, in the close proximity of studying out the ancient roots of it, they can give us some close proximity as to where the word was developed. It was never in the beginning. Yahweh never addressed himself as God. He never did. He never did. He would never allow some pagan expression from a language that Hinduism is one of the major religions in the world. And that is the strength of that word from Hinduism. And it gives us certain expressions of the word God. God akin to Osis and D, God. It gives us that. I'm not going to go into all that. Form of the root word appearing in Sanskrit to call upon, invoke, to implore. Goodbye, gospel, gossip. All of those are devastating things, especially your gossip, as we gossip. Now, I want to define this from the Catholic Encyclopedia. Now, that was the Webster, 1913. This is the Catholic Encyclopedia. Etymology of the word God. Anglo-Saxon God, German God, akin to the Persian Khuda, Hindu Khadu. Now, this word is akin to all of these words. It says, God can variously be defined as, it says this, the proper name of the one supreme and infinite person being, the creator and ruler of the universe, to whom man owes obedience and worship. The common or generic name of several supposed beings to whom, in polytheistic religion, divine attributes are attributed, and divine worship rendered. The name sometimes applies to an idol as that the image, that dwelling place of a god. Now you tell me that this expressed the purity of Almighty Yahweh, that he is somewhat considered as an idol or some false deity. Even the word divine doesn't express him because we don't understand the meaning of words. We don't. And don't tell me that words have no validity and value today. Because Messiah said that we should live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh. There is not one of you daughters of Zion here would feel very comfortable if I began to call all of you all the appropriate title of what you call a female dog. Would that offend you? Would that offend you? And there are those that are so specific about their names, or the name of the person may be David, and you call them David, they will imply to you, my name is David. That is my name. It is not Dave, it is David. And for some reason we think that Yahweh is not important unto him. That we can apply these pagan expressions unto him, and it cannot be. I will show us in scriptures. What I want to do is establish this definition to some degree that will cause us to begin to search out the truths of the Father. And you can go to scripture and find out the truths. If you spend less time in frivolity, folly, and foolishness, and give more of an exerted energy unto Yahweh, there are things that he will open up your understanding to. Our understanding is dull. Because we perceive the things of Yahweh as being dull, as too time consuming. Well, I have no other time but to spend time for Him and to know His perfect way. It says the root meaning of the name from Baltic root, Yehu, listen, Sanskrit, who or Emu. The root word. To invoke or to sacrifice to is either the one invoked or the one sacrificed to. From different Indo-Dramatic root, to shine, to give light, thesis in Thessalonica, to implore, come to the Indo-Iranian diva, Sanskrit, that is telling us the root word or the etymology of words that are used to give us some understanding of the root word or the meaning of the word God. So it comes from these different aspects of language and many languages upon the face of the earth. And you will find as you do research has nothing to do with a pure identity for the mighty Creator. Nothing at all. No identity with Him at all. If there is any one word that will show any identity to Him, it is Elohim. And man has taken that and defined it as God. But that's not so. The word Elohim doesn't mean God. I will define what the word Elohim means. It doesn't mean God. And He is not an Eloah, which means false deities of hell. He is not an Eloah. It's one thing about the mindset of man. It doesn't want to be stressed or it doesn't want to be drawn from its little comfort zone. So that's why it's most difficult for people to learn. That's why there's no willingness to learn anything. Because it takes a manipulation of the mind. In order for one to grow in a certain thing, then they have to change the process or change the way they do things. You take a man that is what we call a bodybuilder. He cannot continuously do the same exercise day in and day out because he will never see growth. He must alter the exercises in order to see growth. He must do leg press one way for 2 months and then he changes it another way the next 2 months. You must always off-throw the muscle or the thing that you're trying to get the response in the way you want it to respond. Now the only way is Yahweh is going to get us to respond to Him righteously, and that is to learn of Him, to study, to show ourselves approved. And we are people that don't like to study. We'll read a few scriptures and we call that studying. And that's not studying. Studying is to imply oneself or to take oneself and to apply it to that subject and to come forth out of that with a great understanding of what thing they're trying to decipher. And we don't do that. We read scriptures and still don't understand what the scriptures imply. Now, I want you to hear this. Now, these are the words that mean God. Latin, Deus. Greek, Theos. Irish, Gaelic. All of which are generic names. Also, Greek, Zeus. Now, that is what the Greek word God means, Zeus. That is what it means, saints. Now, who used that expression more than the Catholic Church? Means Zeus, Latin, Jupiter, Jupiter, Old Teutonic Tau, or proper name of pagan deities. Now, that's what man has done. You must understand that in the writing of Scripture, when man began to translate them, they were dealing with a heathen, pagan people. So they utilized certain idioms that they felt they were not offensive, and they put them in Scripture that when those heathens would read that, well, they would say, well, okay, we understand that. You take the word Hades. Now, if you do research on that, you will find that that is the most improper word to use in Scripture because it has to do with a Greek god. That's what it is. Now, we won't study. We like things that are fictitious, things that are false. Because most of our lives are false. We're full of hypocrisy and falsism. We don't like things that shine forth the excellence of Yahweh's light. Now this is the definition or what etymology we can find what man has. And I've searched for hours looking. Different articles and different
definitions in some of the most profound dictionaries of the world. And this is what I come up with. So I've given time and energy over to this. And don't you dispute me when you don't give energy and time to it. Don't do that. You go and do the research and then you come to me and we will sit down. It says the common name most widely used in Semitic, that's what it says, occurs as El in Hebrew. Now that is what El, but El doesn't mean God. Babylonian, it is Allah. Aramaic, it is Allah, etc. And though scholars are not agreed on the point, the root meaning most probably is the most strong or the mighty one. Now, they're talking about the word El, the most profound meaning, or they're saying the word God is the strong one or the mighty one. Now, Elohim carries a different connotation than what God does. So does a female woman than a female dog. The expressions are totally different. It's a different expression. It says in the Teutonic, the adoption of the masculinian concord being presumably due to the Christians, use the word. Its original heathen use would answer to the letter L. Now what this expression here is that the heathens, and that's why I say the name Jesus is a pagan heathen invention. It is a new name. It is not an old name. It is new. The J is new. And the name Jesus is a heathen name. It is pagan because the heathens apply that to the Son. And the Son came in the Hebraic power of the people that he was birthed from. And so his name must be Hebraic. It has to be that. It must be. It cannot be an English name. And don't tell me you speak English. There are words that we use in our English vernacular that has no English root in it at all. Period. We say hallelujah. Is that English? Is it hard to express hallelujah? It's not difficult, is it? And it is a Hebrew Aramaic word. Its origin, its roots, hallelujah. So it's not an English name. And don't tell me, because you speak English, then you do not use terms in different languages of the world. Because that is what the English language is. It is made up of 100 different dialects. That's why it is a Babylonian language. And you're always going to have a people that speak in one pure tongue. And we began with his name because his name is a pure righteous name. There is no other name like his name. And Jesus is a pagan identity to hide the very power of the name of Yahweh. Because Jesus does not mean Yahweh saves. You must add the Christ to that to give you any kind of sense of any saving. And Messiah is the anointed one, has the fullness of Yahweh's power. And so Yahweh knew what he was doing when he would express certain words unto us as a people. It says some scholars accept the deviation of the root word dihu to pour, have, suppose that the etymology sense of a molten image. Now they accept the root word of the word God. They accept this root word, most scholars, that it derived from the word dihu. And that means to pour, to make a molten image. Now that's what it means, saints. These are not my definitions. The American History Heritage Dictionary, God, a being conceived as the perfect, omnipotent, omnis, originator and ruler of the universe, and the object of faith and worship in the monotheistic religion, the force, effort, or manifestational aspect to this being. Now it goes on and gives us this definition of what it calls God. It's a vast definition of the Supreme One, the Mighty One, but it doesn't identify the one that, if he is specific, who he is. If you say city, what city are you talking about? City being spelled capital doesn't make it a city. It is not a proper noun. There's New York City, but city doesn't imply New York City. There are thousands of cities in America. Jefferson is a city. Pageland is a city. So it doesn't make it a proper place because you use the word city. Word origin. I want to close here on this.
God, our word God goes back via Germanic, German to Indo-European, in which the corresponding ancestors from four men, and they let us know that the origination of this word in the Germanic tongue, it means the word only survive, it means to invoke one. That's what it means now in the Germanic language, to invoke one. The word only survived none. Now, in German, they say it hasn't even survived. The word only surviving non-dramatic relatives is in Sanskrit. Who? Invoke the gods. A form which appeared in the Rig Veda. Now, that's the book or the Bible of the Hindus. Now, you tell me the one that the Hindus worship, they call him God in their Rig Veda, their holy book, they call it. You tell me that is the same one you call on, and he knows you're calling on him, and the Hindus are calling on him, and you say, I know I'm calling on the right one of faith, and yet they say the same thing. How can that be? It doesn't even measure up in Scripture when you began to search Scripture, when Scripture points to every God and calls them by name. And Yahweh's name is the only name that is totally taken out. I will show you in Scripture today, every God that Israel worship and the gods, even Daniel, they changed his name to what? What was his name? Belteshazzar. And that was the name of the God of Nebuchadnezzar. That's what Scripture says. The spirit of the gods with you. And so every God has a name, even Shaitan, except the one that we say we call upon. And we call him Lord and God, and then he comes in this fabricated name called Jesus. A name that is a new invention that is relatively new, less than 500 years old, 400 years old. That's how old the name is. Because in the original 1611, his name is Jesus. And the 1611 was written in English. It was not written in the German language or the Aramaic. It was written in English, and the name is Jesus. And yet men will dispute that. Well, I was saved in that wonderful name. You're probably not even saved. He that endureth to win shall be what? All right then. So you still got some enduring to do. You haven't endured. You haven't endured truth. You haven't suffered truth. You haven't suffered the tribulations of truth. You haven't been ostracized. You haven't been hated of all men for his name's sake. They don't hate you for the name Jesus. They don't despise you for that name. The world loves it. It is a common name. He's a great philosopher. Now that is what the defined Sanskrit meaning of the word God. They have it in a form which appear in their Rig Veda, most ancient in Hindu scripture. Now what they actually saying that even that word God is more ancient than what we call the New Covenant. It is too. But they find it in the Hindu, they use scriptures too. Now if the sources note above are accurate, then the word that we use for the supreme being God come from a very pagan origin. Now, this is not from some Yahweh institution. This is just relative things that you can find out in dictionaries. So they say, now, if these facts, as much as we can find out for that name God. Now, this is not even, this is the etymology from a Catholic site. So if the name God, if the source noted above are accurate, then the word that we use for the supreme being God comes from a very pagan origin. Thus the word God used generically by many different religions. So all religions use the word God, don't they? Every religion of the world use the word God to refer to the deity or invoke one. Now the word Elohim is totally different. It is. He is not God. Every God is a dog. It's a pagan power. And I will show you that in scriptures too. And some may laugh at the notion, the very idea that the word God, listen, has any origin or association with the Hindu Sanskrit. To illustrate how possible this is, we once again quote from the family word finder on the historical development of our modern day English language. Now what they use is now is to show us our modern day English language. word origin. English belongs to the Indo-European family of languages, which consists of about 100 relative tongues, all descended from prehistoric language or pastoral bronze working horse breeding people, the Aryans, inhabitants that steep of Central Asia about 4,500 BC. Now that was 2,500 years before Messiah. Scholars prefer to their language at this stage as Proto-Indo-European or simply Indo-European. And so what actually this statement is implying that if you see where Shaul, when he dealt with Demetrius, the silversmith, they built gods to the goddess Diana. Is that so? And so his language and his idioms in that language were basically associated with Diana. And most people in their language or their tongues, their language will deal, every language and every tongue has one thing in common. There's a God. There's some form of worship. All languages, all people, every dialect, I don't care, to the dark jungles of Africa, to the most pristine houses here in America, they want to call them. Whether they're Caucasian, black, Yorkshire, it makes no difference at all. They all have some form of commonality. And that is, they all speak a language, and they all believe that there is a God. That there is a God. And we must find out what Scripture says. And either what historians say are truth, or Scripture's truth. I will believe Scripture's, even though I know that man has done things in Scripture that are totally wrong. And the more I study, the more I can see these things. Shaul knew that. The prophets knew that. Because they could see what things that were taking place in the house of Yisrael. It's either that what the Scripture says is truth or it is a lie. Now, I want to define this word Elohim. I want to show you what it means from the Hebrew lexicon. Listen to me, saints. Don't follow in drunkenness, all right? Awaken yourself and listen. It is high time that we began to listen. We need to learn. The ignorant people. You know, there are people that were upset with what Mr. Bill James said about the urban black community. And yet Mr. Bill Cosby said the same thing. And that is the truth. And so this people, I'm telling you people, you need to open your minds to hear and to understand. We need to get understanding. We do. That's the only way a student ever learns, that he must recognize that there is someone that has something that they can convey to them that will give them strength in their lives. Now if you are arrogant and proud, no one can tell you anything. Only a fool thinks that way. A fool thinks he has it all. And that's a fool. As an ignorant man. And don't tell me that I understand the definition of the word God just by my own vernacular, because I do not. And neither do you. Don't tell me you understand the dynamics of aerodynamics, because you don't. The word doesn't even carry any meaning to you, because you don't even speak in that language. Don't tell me you understand the bytes and the megabytes and all those things. You've heard of the expression, but do you understand what it consists of? You don't. Nor do you understand the intricacies and the power of a computer, because you don't. Nor the composition of a man's body, because you don't understand the genetics and the atoms of a man's body. So don't be ignorant and think you do. There are men that have spent their lives to understand just the simple components of an atom. And a fool will say, well, I understand that. How can you understand that, ignorant man? Well, you have not given over any time or any energy to even understand what an atom is. How many of you all can tell me what an atom is? How many of you all can tell me what the word etymology is, or what the word two means? And yet we think we know. Because of our own arrogance and our ignorance, we're not a people willing to be taught. But we must be taught. Messiah was a teacher. He came to teach the way of the one that sent him. And to show man how to live according to the one that sent him. Was that what he was? Did not they say that no man teaches like you teach? That's what he was, wasn't he? And those that thought they knew in their traditional rituals, they were the ones that rose up against him. It was the one that had simple, open minds that said that there is some truth in that. And I'll go back to the Scripture and see what is right. And when they found it in the Scripture, they began to rejoice. What Scripture? In the Torah. And the sons of David. And the prophets, which where they found it. You can't reject the Torah. You can't reject David, the Psalms. How do you do that? But the New Testament or the New Covenant is the fulfillment of those things. It brings the spiritual revelation to all of those things. That's what it does. And that's what Messiah came to do, to bring the light and the power, the revelation of the Father's name, that you will know who you call on. You must know who you call on. You can't identify him as God. Now, if I am a fool and you sit here and receive that, I said, all gods are dogs. I don't take that back. It is a pagan expression. It doesn't express Yahweh. His name is such a magnificent, beautiful name, and he wants to hear it from his people. Now, if you are not his, you are not going to say his name. I want to define the word Elohim, and I want to move expeditiously. It says from the Hebrew lexicon, Elohim. Now the word El, is singular as Almighty. That's what the word El means. You will find in scripture many times they address him as El, the Almighty One. El, the O of it, L-O, of, that's simply what that means, the Almighty of. He is the Almighty of what? He. Well, what is that? He is plural meaning. This is what it means. Listen to me. Oaths. So to give, he is the mighty one of oaths. Has he not given us many promises? So he is the mighty one of promises, if I must use that expression. Now, which one of the gods gives you, will give you mighty oaths or promises? All the promises of Yahweh there, yea, and hallelujah. For we rejoice in it because we know it is the truth of the Father. Now that is what it means. Has nothing to do with God or Lord. Now man has taken that expression and associated with a pagan name or the pagan expression God. And it's wrong. Elohah, those that are false deities. And Yahweh is not false, brothers and sisters. And the only way you're going to understand things in depth and detail, you must get off of your lazy doves. And have a love for the Father, and that he supersedes every desire you have. You must know him. What son doesn't want to know his father? We call him Father. What is his name? He has a name. Now, when I began in scripture, I want you to judge me very carefully and scrutinize what I say. I want you to, because it's for your own safety. If I'm right and you reject it, then woe to you. If I'm wrong and you reject it, then save yourself from this untoward generation of darkness. I want to begin with the scripture because I want to establish the power of our Father. Isaiah 65:11. I want to begin here. Isaiah 65:11. Scripture says, but ye are they that forsake Yahweh. You have forgotten my holy mountain, that prepared a table for that God of fortune, Gad. Now you tell me that Yahweh is identified with the God of fortune, Gad. Now it calls him a God of fortune. Why is it that scripture expressed that God's name? Let us deal with the fact that men say that he is God. Well, why is this God's name mentioned in scripture? Now in the KJV it will say the Lord, but they have forsaken who? The Lord. And yet when it comes to the God of fortune, it identifies him as Gad. And that furnished drink offerings unto the God of faith many. He said, Israel, you have forsaken me for a false illusion. For false Eloah. And you bring offerings and sacrifices unto him. The word God is a new invention. It is an invention of man. Because it is the one that they will invoke. You will see the scripture in the latter times. This is one of the most prominent things will be. That every man will call upon his own God. Everybody will have their own God. Everybody will have their own God. It's in scripture. Shaul says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 and 5. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. He said, but if our message be hid, if this truth of Yahweh is hid, it is hid from them that are lost. If this truth of who Messiah is and what he represented is hidden, it is hidden from those that have no chance of getting it right. It says, in whom the God of this world, does it express that? So you tell me that Shatan, this beast, this vile thing of darkness, he is associated with the same character as Yahweh, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not. Lest the light of this mighty power of this message of Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh, should shine upon them. Now, he is not just the image of God. He is the image of Yahweh. And the light of that image is that truth of whom Yahweh is. It is in that expressed person of whom Messiah is. The Yahweh is going to redeem his people. So who is the God of this earth? So if you say the God of this earth and the God of the heavens, where does Satan dwell? Where does Satan dwell? He dwells in the heavens, below the heavens of Yahweh. So if a person says, I'm calling on God, and you're talking to a heathen, what God? Tell me what God? That is why even the pagans mock what we call Christianity, because they even know that the names and terminology of what we call Christianity cannot be so. It can't be. And that is why Yahweh must fill you with His Spirit. You got that Negro spirit, you got that Caucasian white boy spirit, and the black boy spirit is not Yahweh. It is not from the Father. And that's the truth. Because the Spirit of Yahweh leads you to all truth. That's what it does. It doesn't lead you into lies. It leads you to all truth. And because our traditions have made void the power of the Word of God, that's why we have not gone on to any kind of excellent power. That's why we're captivated with sensual earthly things instead of the things that bring about the pure knowledge of the Father. So it's the beast of this world has blinded the minds of those because they don't want to receive truth. They don't love truth. There's no desire for truth. There's no heart for truth, saints. You must love the truth of Yahweh. You must desire with all things. And His name is not Lord. It is not God. These are pagan expressions. Adonai can never mean Lord's. It may express master, but it's not Lord. Never. Baal is Lord. He says in verse 5, For we preach not ourselves, but we preach. Listen to what Shaul says. We don't preach about us. Now, am I preaching David Roberts? He said, but we preach Messiah. Yeshua the Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach. Our hope. And ourselves, servants of Messiah, or for the sake of Yeshua. Now that's what we preach. That we are servants of this hope that Messiah has given unto us. Because the only hope can come from the one that created all things. Who is he? God? No, he is Yahweh. He is the self-existing one. And no God is self-existing because Shatan in Genesis tells us what a God is. An Eloah. It can be. He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to lay the foundation to express to us. Did man call Yahweh God or Lord from the beginning? And we must find it in scripture whether they call upon one they knew. And I will show you that in the days to come. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9. Even whose coming is after the working of Shatan. Now that is the God of this earth. With all power and sign and lying wonders. Do you hear that? This anti-Messiah is going to have all power. He's going to have a lying tongue. And he's going to have great wonders. He's going to perform great things at the sight of many. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You must love the truth to be saved. We have been taught things that are totally fabrication. That's why you have thousands of doctrines and denominations. Because they base things upon a simple word or a partial truth instead of all the truth. And we must base things upon all the truth, saints. Everything works in union. Everything is precise, like a perfectly oiled machine. Everything must work in union. And so what Yahweh said, you just can't live as Messiah expressed us by just simply a moistle of the word. You must live by everything that the word says. Because it came from Yahweh and everything he speaks is pure. It's either he has spoken unto us pure things or they're not pure. And that's why he did not leave it into the hands of the scribes and the Pharisees, because their pens were corrupt and they did things they knew were wrong. That's why Messiah said the Father is not going to leave you hopeless. He is going to send unto you the Comforter. And not this trash they call the Spirit of Yahweh. That is not the Spirit. That is trash from black folks. It is trash from white folks. It is trash from every ethnicity. But it's not the Spirit of Yahweh. And I'm not afraid of saying that either. Because if I blaspheme the Kodesh Ruah, not the Holy Ghost. Because the Ghost is a Sanskrit word from the Hinduism Veda, their holy book, what they call it. Even that word holy ought not to be used. It truly ought not. It should be his Kodesh. That expresses purity and his separation from all things. Sure it does. Now we just gonna have to learn how to talk right. You remember in the world how you talk? Did any of you all curse and say filthy things? Okay, I did too. Now when you came, when you began to grow in some knowledge, did you change your language? If you find yourself around people that are more intellectual than you, don't you try to watch your grammar and your language? Don't you try to do that? You see how ignorant this generation is? We think that we can just talk the same way and say the same thing. You find yourself around people that utilize certain superlatives and they have a certain command of the English language, and you begin to guard what you say. You will say things that you know that are appropriate in the structure of grammar that will be conveyed properly. And so you kind of judge your words and judge your expression of words, don't you? So it is with Yahweh. The words that express him, is that we have to judge what words we use to express him, brothers and sisters. You don't offer unto him something that is cankered and filthy, do you? You offer him to a sweet word, a savoring word that goes out of us and it gives him great delight. That's the way it should be. So you're going to have to change your grammar. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to change your grammar. You're going to have to learn how to talk spiritual. That's just it. What's wrong with that? The person that plays football, they talk football grammar. They talk football language. The jargon is football. Those that are in the technology industry, they got words and technical phrases they use. You don't understand those acronyms and things like that. They say the PDDP. What is that to me? I don't understand that. And so in order for you to understand the language of that culture, you must begin to inform yourself of the language. So in order for us to understand the culture whereby Yahweh sent his son Messiah in, we must understand the language, saints. And other than you have to learn how to speak Hebrew, but it's good to understand certain facets of it. It is important to do that. He's going to come with this great power to deceive many. Verse 11 it says, and for this cause Yahweh shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Why? Because they didn't have love for the truth. And that strong delusion, and that is the truth, saints. He is calling his people out of these pagan rituals. He's calling his people out to his name, that his name may again be lifted up and not profaned. Man has profaned his name with the name Jesus, and that is not his name. And how can you even deduct Jesus out of the New Testament? And there are people that will say, well, his name was Jesus in the Old Covenant. I say, how is that? Lies. When he tells us in Psalms to praise him by his name, Yah. If nothing else, we call him Yah. If nothing else, I would address him by his name, Yah. I would. This is an ignorant, stubborn, rebellious generation. It is that way because it is full of witchcraft. It's full of corruption. It is full of idolatry. That's why they worship their idol gods. And every denomination has an idol god. The apostolic, the Methodist, they all. You got idol gods within apostolic realms. He said that they all might be damned who believe not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. What is an unrighteous man? Well, a man that when he hears the truth and the simplicity of Yahweh's truth, and he makes himself right by his own tradition, his own laws, that is an unrighteous man. He has established his own covenant and his own oath. As they said, we will not eat or drink until we get Oshaul. They had made a vow. Well, I love that name Jesus. No, I love the name truth. He tells us to buy truth. He never told us to buy the name Jesus. He told us to buy truth and sell it not. So I want to buy truth and I don't want to sell truth. Psalms 33. I must establish his foundation. It is a must. It is paramount that I do this. Psalms 33, verse 21. Now there must be a name that we must trust in. David says in Psalms 33 verse 21, he says, "For our hearts shall rejoice in Him." Who? In God? In Him. Because we have trust in what? In Him. What? In what? Now, is that name obsolete today? Does that name have any power today? Now, in that name, we find the Son in that name because He had to come in some name. He did not come in the name of God because there is no God without a name. And I will show you that in Scripture. Every God that Yahweh dealt with, that the children of Israel went out unto, they had names, they called upon their names, and their names are identified in Scripture. Then what not the name of the one that created the gods? Do we ask those kinds of questions? Does this religious world promote our thinking or our spiritual thinking to ask those kinds of questions? No, the kind we want to ask, well, is it wrong for me to wear pants? Yes, Jezebel, put on a dress. Is it wrong for me to talk back to my husband? Yes, ignorant woman. It's wrong. Can I love some other woman as my wife? No, you fool. It tells you to love her as Messiah loved the assembly, to call out the elect of Yahweh. So what name have we trusted in? What is the holy name? Now the name that we trust in, it is a kodosh. It is a name that is pure. It says we trusted in the name. Doesn't it say that? It does not say we trusted His authority, but it says we trusted His name. And you must trust in His name because there's no other name given in earth, saints. Whereby we must be saved. Well, how have those brothers gone on? Because there was a heart for truth, and Yahweh saved them because they were His. Just like those in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, they waited for the promise and they never seen the promise materialize. But they had hope in the promise. Tell me, what name were those saved in under the English language of Jesus? And that is the name, Jesus, Jesus. You can't pronounce it any other way but Jesus. It is Jesus. I know. I've studied it too much. I've listened to the enunciation and pronunciation of it too much. I know what I'm saying. I know it.